I'm gonna start right now. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Wednesday, January 31st, almost February. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis. It's basically summer, dude. It's tomorrow's February, and then summer. It's like a minute away. Baseball season, the whole time.
You're just an eternal optimist, and I love that. We are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to get you started. Keep winning on FanDuel and DraftKings. Sign up for our free three-day trial at DFSR.com/NBA. That's free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month after. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, member-only chat, player lab, everything you need to get going to get yourself winning on FanDuel and DraftKings. So go sign up, DFSR.com/NBA. Tons to talk about here on a big Wednesday. I was actually wishing that the schedule was a little different, because I just got to talk. Well, I'm going to talk about two things first, and then we'll kind of get into the games. One, James Harden's game last night. Good God. Chris Paul is ruled out about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so before lock. Harden, it, for us, jumps into basically every lineup. And he had a game that it was, I think, the greatest. I saw a tweet last night. I might even just been like from FanDuel's loser account. But the I shouldn't say loser account. This is kind of whatever. I don't know who does their tweets. But I think it was the greatest fantasy game ever. Like they were tied Boogie, but Boogie's game took two overtimes for Boogie to get there. Like Harden's game, yeah, was in.
It was a tie. Well, I've been waiting for someone to hit the 100 point on FanDuel, and both of them had 98.5.
Yeah. So I mean, Harden's game last night was just unbelievable. I mean, at this point, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably saw a line: 60 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. Only 5 turnovers somehow in 46 minutes of play. So they just decided to run him out there the entire game. Injury issues be damned, whatever. He played all but 2 minutes and put up one of the best. It's hard for me to imagine at this point anyone ever cresting over this line in a regulation game. Like, I just don't. maybe a Westbrook game. I'm not sure. Just no one's gonna play 46 minutes. I think. It's just because the problem
is very hard to do if you're not simply on the court the whole time, right? Like, that's really, really,
and the big thing there for him was the reason he was able to do it was because Chris Paul was really ruled out, and then Eric Gordon left the game early. Gordon only played 10 minutes. They were left with really no guards at all, even on the roster. Right. Harden was just kind of forced into playing all those minutes. And the other piece of news from last night, or just like kind of an event that happened. I think this has to be rock bottom for the Cavaliers. They play again tonight, and we'll talk about them. But every year, it feels like we go through this. It does feel like the time has been extended on the Cavs' demise. Last night, I can't even get it out.
I like that you're just breathless.
Because I have so many things to say about this. But should Detroit you mentioned maybe just bringing Blake off the bench. I mean, this Detroit team looks like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. Is there any reason to even have Blake get off the plane from the trade after seeing what the
All-Star? Yeah, sure. I think you have him be like a change of pace, high energy guy off the bench, maybe. But, well, they have Tolliver now, and I think he's doing everything you need. He's solving that spacing issue that you brought up yesterday on the pod. You got Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock just wreaking havoc on the wings. I mean, just based on last game's night alone, I think it's going to be tough for a lot of teams to stop this new look Detroit team.
What are the Cavs doing? And this team, like, it's Tolliver, Bullock, Stanley Johnson, Drummond, and Ish Smith, and then some bench pieces put up 125 on the Cavs last night.
We're going to save that clip, Doug, because 3 months from now, when Detroit, is the three seed, stomping someone in the first round, you're going to look pretty silly for saying that was a bad lineup, because this team is they've got potential. Yeah, Cleveland dips down now, dead last in the league in terms of defensive efficiency. You're Cleveland Cavaliers, everybody. And still 29-20.
If you're looking at the Hollinger defensive efficiency, that this takes a day to update. This hasn't included the Detroit game yet. Like, they are going to be – they usually are a day behind on this, that I've noticed. This is going to be – they're going to be dead last by a lot now that this has happened, because Sacramento actually didn't even play too bad, poorly last night. Phoenix. Yeah. Phoenix did actually play poorly. Sorry, they were tied with Phoenix. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Cleveland is – you just can't be a contending team and be this bad at defense. There's no other way around it. It doesn't matter what you have on offense, which they don't even have all that much. Now that Kevin Love is out for the next 6 weeks to 2 months, which is another brutal loss for them. And we'll talk about that in a second when we get to Cleveland. So last night was a really interesting night in the NBA. There was a bunch of other stories too. The Kings guys put up. I was in a little bit of a sweat there near the end for some GPPs. Ended up having a really nice night, but missed about 25 grand in the 120 entry max by, I don't know, by 5 or 6 points or something like that. And then miss some Q tickets. But overall, very, considering Gordon went out early, I was very surprised that the profit turned on DraftKings. So we'll get into some of these games. Really interesting. Tonight actually has a lot of just value opening up sort of across the board. So we'll go through game by game and just kind of try to suss out some of it. The first game is the Lakers and the Magic. No line in this game right now, mostly probably because we're waiting on Aaron Gordon news. Aaron Gordon sat out last night's game with, I don't know, maybe a back injury. I'm not exactly sure what the injury was. He started out a hip problem. He did sit last night on the front end of the back-to-back. Mario Hezonja got the start. Hezonja only played 25 minutes. I'm wondering some opinions here. So they had some it's the Magic, so whatever. But they did some very weird rotations. So they started Hezonja. But their crunch time unit at the end of the game was like, rewind. They started Hezonja. Hezonja played like 10 first half minutes, barely played the first half. Then in crunch time, I was watching, but I believe the crunch time unit was Simmons, Hezonja, Spates, Shelvin Mack, and DJ Augustine. Like Elfrid Payton barely played, Biyombo barely played, Fournier was not on for crunch time. What do we do with the minute situation here with the Magic if Gordon were to be ruled out again? Because again, Payton played 18 minutes. Fournier played 27. Hezonja played 25, but was on the court at the end of the game. Like, how do we make any sense of what the Magic's plans are here if Aaron Gordon's out again?
Yeah, I mean, uncertainty is always sort of baked in with the Magic, and this was actually one of the difficulties I had in trying to project Hezonja's minutes when knowing Gordon was going to be out, is that if you go back in their game logs, like some games he would play 34 minutes and some games he would play more like 25. So I think, you know, it must just be whatever they see on the court at the time. It also doesn't help that the Magic are just a lot worse when Gordon's not out there. So, you know, and as soon as they just got the weakest hands in the world, like as soon as the littlest thing starts going wrong, they always seem to panic for the last 4 years and put this, that, or the other guy in there. Now, with Hezonja, though, it doesn't seem to matter too much. The last two games, 26 and 24 minutes, paid 6x on these FanDuel prices. So I think you're basically now at a point where Hezonja's floor appears to be paying value on these prices, and there's probably upside built in regardless. And in a fast matchup with the Lakers, I'd be happy to play him in cash if we knew that Gordon weren't going to play.
Yeah, I think I'd risk it too. At only 4,100 on FanDuel, I think you can give him 27, 28 minutes. And there is other value on the slate tonight, but even at those numbers, I think you're kind of fine just because the matchup is so good. The other guys like Simmons was out there for crunch time, so that makes you feel better. He led the team in minutes at 35, had a pretty good game overall, though. You know, he's kind of a guy that needs a lot to go right. He will chip it along the stat line, but 15 points, only 3 assists and only 1 rebound last night. But I think in 35 minutes, again, against like, let's say the Lakers, I think he'd be in line for more fantasy points. So I do like both those guys. And I'm just very worried about these kind of minutes from guys like Fournier. I mean, Elfrid Payton, 18 minutes is a complete joke. So he's a guy that's always a little bit overpriced. He's not a guy I probably would end up rostering either way tonight, but just a tough team to get a handle on. And then the Lakers going the other way. Lonzo Ball is ruled out again tonight. It hasn't for a few games. It opened up Jordan Clarkson off the bench, but we saw, you know, a couple games where that just didn't really end up materializing. Lakers still continue to do some random rotations. Is it at this point, Tyler Ennis starts but doesn't really get any minutes at this point? Can we really trust? Are we able to trust anything in cash games from the Lakers side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one guy that's trustworthy for cash purposes is Brandon Ingram. The price has come back up to 6,700, but you could argue that it's still worth it in a very fast-paced matchup with Orlando here. Orlando playing the 7th fastest pace in the league. Bottom 3 defensive efficiency, just a hair better than Cleveland and Sacramento. So still a very good matchup for him. I think there's still, you know, and again, it always helps with these kind of mediocre teams when they're not up against one of the really good teams for blowout purposes. So I think if you take all that together, he's a reasonable cash game play.
Memphis goes in and plays Indiana. Memphis's game. Well, Memphis, and then the injury notes on Memphis are we're probably just going to need to do a skip here because we're going to need to wait because we have Dylan Brooks questionable, Davis questionable, Chalmers questionable, McLemore questionable, Jermichael Green doubtful, and there was one other guy. I thought there was one other guy, but anyway, this is a lot of question marks. Now, none of these players in and among themselves are all that great, except, I mean, I guess Dylan Brooks does start, but if a lot of these guys were to be ruled out, it would just kick up minutes probably toward the top. Like, so if, like, Chalmers was out, I think we can give more minutes to Tyreek Evans and guards, sure. Like Seldon and Harrison. Macklemore opens up some more minutes at the small forward. Brooks would open up a lot of minutes. I think we just need to kind of wait on them. Now, one question I have for you here is last game, Tyreek Evans was back from injury but didn't start against Phoenix. They started Seldon and Harrison, and they brought in Tyreek off the bench. Indiana's a good matchup. Tyreek's clearly their best like fantasy option. I mean, outside of probably Gasol, and they're probably pretty close, actually, all things considered. But what do we want to do with a guy like Tyreek? Like, if we knew that he was back, we'll probably have the news, back in the starting lineup, would we give him like mid-30s minutes against a pretty weak Indiana team, or is it just too tough to trust the Memphis situation right now?
I mean, maybe you give him mid-30s minutes. I'm not sure it matters for cash game purposes, honestly. Indiana, a pretty good matchup, but Tyreek already on the high end of what his price ought to be, given his performance on the season, averaging just 35 fantasy points a game on an $8,400 salary. Now, I know some of that is because the minutes have been sort of up and down for him this year, So I think no matter what, you know, what happens, you could see a 31 to 32 minute performance with no great difficulty here. And I don't think tonight's the night to try to guess right on it. Like if it were Brooklyn or Phoenix or something like that, maybe you could talk me into it. But I think on a fairly big slate tonight, this is not a night where I would want to stick my neck out.
Yeah, it's a little close. It's close. Like Indiana's pretty bad. Tyreek is a fantasy contributor, but there's probably just enough value that you don't want to do. One issue that you do have tonight, and it's really not a Tyreek Evans issue, is there aren't a ton of ways to spend on this slate. So if you look at just FanDuel salaries, you have LeBron coming in right around 12,000, and the next highest guy is Embiid at 10,500, and then there's Howard and Oladipo at 10,000, and then there's really no one else in that five-digit category of just guys you spend for. So the reason I mention that is because when that happens, you do end up taking not chances, but you end up playing some guys like Evans in the upper tier. You end up just trying to pick out who the best of the upper tier are, rather than going maybe your typical stars and scrubs like last night, where you get Harden and Davis and you're kind of filling along the edges of these very cheap plays. Right. When there's not a lot of guys to spend for, it's those 8,500 guys that end up sometimes looking a little weird to play, except that this is just, you got to spend money somewhere. You can't leave $5,000 on the table.
Yeah, Tyreek, I just don't think you need to force it with Tyreek tonight. Like there's still plenty of other guys in that range. It's not a 4-game slate. It's an 8-game slate. So I think you will play Embiid against Brooklyn. I think you probably play Ben Simmons there too. Like I think there's a number of mid-range options that I'm sure we'll get to over the course of the slate here that put you in a position where you don't have to play a guy who just played 27 minutes in a game and the minutes for this game are so uncertain.
Yep, fair enough. Indiana side of the ball. Indiana is 7-point favorites against a very, very weak Memphis team. Not a ton of injury news for them. Sabonis, it looks like the big thing is Turner is going to move back into the starting lineup, pushing Sabonis to the bench. I'm not sure for our purposes. It's actually, I think we get a little bit lucky that this is the move happens in this game, because I'm not sure we would have considered playing Turner against Gasol anyway. And I think now we can get a sense of what his minutes are going to be now that he's moving back into the starting lineup. And I think that it just, and then go kind of use them next time, possibly. Like if the minutes trended back up to 30 or something like that in the starting lineup, I don't think that's fine. And we'll just do it for the next matchup and not really have to do it here. Other than him, in terms of news, is there anything to like about this Memphis matchup, or just kind of too slow across the board for cash game purposes?
Yeah, they're the slowest team in the league. A reasonable defense in spite of how poor they've been overall. I don't think you want to. And again, like whatever value is cropping up on Indiana, I don't think it's anything that's going to, you're going to break the bank for. Like Miles Turner's another one where sure enters the starting lineup, but is he going to play those 34 minutes? He's a great GPP target, I believe. Like 5,800 will be too cheap for him as soon as his minutes resume. And he was good on these prices in 20 minutes against Charlotte. So I get that there's upside here on Turner. It's just for my cash games, I don't think so.
Philly goes in and plays Brooklyn. Philly is 7-point favorites. They are going to get Joel Embiid sat out the second half of a back-to-back last game, so it wasn't an injury issue. I think they were just resting him. He's going to be back in the starting lineup tonight. They get a good matchup here against Brooklyn. When you run lineups right now on our site, at least for FanDuel, you get both Simmons and Embiid as basically 100% stars, meaning they're in 100% of the top 25 lineups. When that's the case this early in the day for a guy that's 10,500 in Embiid and that's 9,000 in Simmons, it doesn't tend to change. It's like the other pieces that tend to change. Right now, if this was the way we were going in to cash games on a bigger Wednesday slate, would you feel comfortable stacking these two guys kind of across the board in cash games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Embiid's a pretty easy play here, if only because of the lack of other options to spend up on, like you mentioned. I know that he hasn't been paying these prices as reliably recently. The minutes were down a little bit. It was reassuring to see the minutes climb back up to 35 against OKC. I think if you picture him for 33 to 35 minutes, he'll be just excellent in the best matchup in the league against Brooklyn. Simmons is another guy where everyone kind of, he fell out of favor after a number of bad games, and then had three good games in a row against Chicago, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City. So, you know, two of the three quite poor matchups, and then kind of got buzzed off on his minutes against Milwaukee. But I think if you assume, like I will, that he'll be back up into his mid-30s to high-30s minutes in this game, that he'll be another really good play against Brooklyn. Philly only favored by 7 points here, and I suspect you'll see the full run out of those big guys. So, yeah, very bullish on both these guys. And to your point, again, in the absence of a Harden, Davis, Westbrook, $12,000-plus type player, these seem like perfect ways to kind of do that upper-middle-class spend up here.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, like I said, when this early in the day, we record this around 9 o'clock Eastern time. So just to give you a sense of when we start this, if these guys are in these lineups this much, and it's the kind of the same case, not 100% across the board on DraftKings, but pretty close. If these price tiers are in a lineup to start outside of some major fundamental change, like we just crazy change minutes or something like that on one of the guys, which is not the plan really today, that is really probably where you're going to end up seeing kind of going cash games. And I'm fine with it, because this is a good matchup against Brooklyn. This is kind of what you're looking for on a night-to-night basis. Other guys on Philly, you know, they're still without Redick. Dario is a guy for me that kind of creeps up when Embiid is out. Like, I don't like the usage is not there. Timothy Louis Cabaret, I always get the name confused. He's still in the starting lineup. I'm not sure it matters. He doesn't see a ton of usage. So it's really just kind of for me the Simmons and Embiid show. Brooklyn, D'Angelo Russell is going to sit out tonight. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, I believe, is doubtful. Doesn't matter. Are we just in another day of trying to figure out Brooklyn minutes? I feel like we say this every time they play. I just don't know Caris LeVert's questionable. I'm just not sure what we do with Brooklyn minutes. Philly's not a bad matchup, but I just can't trust anything that they're doing.
Nope. Any Brooklyn guys that you're going to consider are going to be on a big tournament basis only, and that means that it's probably not worth going too deep on them now, just because basically everyone is in play for big tournaments. I will say even the Brooklyn guys recently haven't really even provided that much upside, so it might just be a skip altogether.
The one guy, I will say there's one guy you can consider for me and on FanDuel, and that's Spencer Dinwiddie at 6,300. It's not a guy that I really want to, but without Russell, he does play a few more minutes. So that just because they don't have, without Russell and without LeVert, who LeVert at times takes some point guard duties in the second unit, without those two guys, you could see Dinwiddie's minutes get to 30, 31, and it'd still be close because he's not exactly cheap at 6,300. So I don't have overwhelming interest in him, but of anybody on Brooklyn, he was probably one guy that I could possibly play. Another 7:30 game. Charlotte goes in and plays Atlanta. The news here is that Marvin Williams is going to sit the game out, and I think Frank Kaminsky is going to get the start. Now, Kaminsky, I'm wondering your thoughts here. Kaminsky, I have him at 31 minutes. He's only 4,000. He hasn't been very good. I'm a little concerned because in the past, I'm saying more like last year, Kaminsky's a guy that we would have, he entered the starting lineup. He was like this one-for-one corollary. If Marvin Williams was out, then you could give him a ton of minutes, and he was just kind of a great punt play. He would be a guy, even at times, at 24 minutes off the bench, would we consider playing him. Do you think the addition of Dwight Howard to the team, slash maybe just some other little considerations, has made he's just not as good of on a fantasy points per minute basis anymore? We have him at 31 minutes, and he's kind of he's still a very good points per dollar play, but it doesn't seem 100% lock across the board. What are your thoughts on Kaminsky without Marvin Williams here?
Yeah, I think Kaminsky is an interesting one because we've seen him perform quite well out of the starting lineup in the past. And I wonder if he benefits from having better creators around him, because, he doesn't create a lot of his own shots. And with the second unit on Charlotte being pretty weak, I imagine that he is having a difficult time just getting balls in the air. But, the first unit featuring Kemba Walker and Batum and so forth, these guys that can actually create a little bit of offense, I think that Kaminsky could be in a position to pay this off pretty well here. I think if you think he's going to play 30 minutes tonight, 30 plus minutes, I think he, regardless of whatever his points per minutes have been so far this season, I think he'd still be a pretty easy cash game play for me tonight.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered that too much. If you're running with Michael Carter Williams as your point guard, you're, I don't know. That's just, it's a much worse situation. Now, Kemba's not all that great of a distributor himself, but maybe just a level of talent that but frees
at least
you up.
Starting NBA point guard. I mean, you know, right. Like, get five assists in a game or whatever. Michael Carter Williams is just terrible. One of the worst distributors in the league. So I think it still has to be an upgrade for him. Because you're also not looking for him to, you know, score 50 points. Like, you just need him to right. get some boards and put some balls in the air. And I think he does that pretty easily on 30 minutes.
Yep, only 4,400 on DraftKings, 4,000 on FanDuel. So probably will end up being a pretty popular play. There are some other power forward considerations that we'll get to in a second that maybe will make the decision closer than it would be on some other nights. Other Charlotte guys, Dwight is still, he's very expensive right now. Been playing from a fantasy points perspective. Dwight has been pretty damn good. He was not, he had 37 minutes, didn't quite get there against Indiana, but against Miami, 55 fantasy points, against Atlanta, 60, against New Orleans, 51, against Sacramento, 51, and then Miami, 45. That's a really nice run of nice games, FanDuel scoring. This is also a pretty good matchup, you know, against an Atlanta team that's one of the worst at defending the center position.
Dead last currently.
Yeah. Now we have Embiid for more fantasy points, but if you look down with Howard's game log, it kind of seems like Howard maybe should be closer than our system is suggesting. Do you think Embiid? Do you think, you know, right now we have him right around the same minutes? We have Embiid for 54 fantasy points, and we have Dwight for 45. So almost 10 points higher for Embiid. Do you feel like that's correct based on what Howard's been doing lately and the system seeing something that we're not? Because when you look at the game log, it sure doesn't look like it should be that big of a gap between the two.
No, it doesn't seem correct, to be honest. I think, you know, and this is always the weird thing about trying to create a system like ours, which, you know, generally speaking, wants to take a look at the long run. But there are times in basketball in particular where you do have to zoom in on the short run and try to figure out what's going on, especially when performance changes this dramatically. And I think with Dwight, you know, the unfortunate truth about him is that sometimes it is an effort issue, right? Like if you go back to earlier this season, several games where he'd have, you know, four rebounds in a game or two rebounds, you know, stuff like that, that you haven't seen. Like, and now we're up to this point in the season where he's not had less than 10 rebounds in a game since December 31st, it looks like. So, you know, the guy's a double-double machine, literally just putting points on the board with reckless abandon right now. And it seems to be, he seems to be happy with how he's being used in Charlotte right now. And I think that does matter for someone like Dwight. He's also, the blocks are another one. I mean, so if you look, go back into December, let's see, there's seven games in December where he had no blocks over the course of the whole game. He hasn't had a no block game now since December 31st. So I think he's just doing everything that you would want him to do right now. In the last five games, he has a 6-block game, a 7-block game, a 4-block game, and a 3-block game. So he's really providing on all cylinders right now. And I think that sounds like a projection that's worth examining. Like, I don't know if we just want to take January stats as the new normal for Dwight right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, looking at it, the big difference between them is the point, just the flat out scoring. So on the season, Dwight averages 16 points a game, and Embiid averages right around 24 points a game, which is that 8 points is basically, honestly, that's basically the difference in their projections, because I said 10 points, but it's actually 8. So the points, it seems like that's where you're getting the difference, with Dwight making up some of it on the rebounding. He's obviously a much better rebounder than Embiid. The recent run has been against some pretty weak defenses. Indiana's a weak defense. Miami they have a good defense, but they don't play tons of big center minutes out of Whiteside. Atlanta, obviously, the aforementioned Atlanta is the worst defensive team in the league in terms of centers. New Orleans is not a very good defense. Sacramento, not a very good defense. Miami again. So he's actually had a very nice run of bad defenses. This is not also that good of a defense, because he completely crushed Atlanta last time for 18, 15, and 7 blocks. So, yep, we'll look at this one a little bit closer, because I think that, like you said, it's worth reexamining, because I'm not sure the difference should be this. The gap should not be this big, I don't think, between these two guys based on what Dwight's been doing. Atlanta side, what a mess. Good luck. Have fun tonight. You're on the system with the Atlanta guys. I try to get it as close as possible with what it seems like is their plan on a game-to-game basis, and I throw – you can't see what I'm doing, but I threw plan up in air quotes because I don't believe they have really a plan. Sure. Good luck. I don't know what to say about this team. Torian Prince plays 30 minutes and then he plays 15. Kent Bazemore will play 30 and score 2.5 fantasy points.
Schrader, shout out to Kent Bazemore, by the way, for going out there and scoring 2.5 fantasy points the night that we played him, and we would have just won GPPs if he was anything at all. And then he just walks right back out there against Minnesota, no problem. 38.8 fantasy points.
Like, it couldn't happen any other way with him. That's the classic Bazemore. This is what this guy does. He is I watch a lot of basketball, man. He is impossible to watch. He throws up terrible shots. I don't think I've ever actually seen him hit a three-pointer. I know he has, but not when I've been watching. So what a mess. All right, before we get to the Cleveland things, I think we're going to spend a little bit of time on this one. Hit us up with a sponsor.
Doug, it's that time of year. FantasyFactor.com is running squares for the big game. Can we have Super Bowl squares for the big game coming up here on Sunday?
I think you're allowed to say Super Bowl, so start over. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just talking about the Super Bowl is being played on Sunday in fantasy football. Fantasy Factor is offering a Super Bowl or a squares contest for that game that's going to happen on Sunday. And the way it works, of course, is just like it would work when you go to a real life in-person party, except you get to do it online. So head on over to fantasyfactor.com. They also have a free roll for the NBA coming up on Friday here. Great system, great place to play if you're a casual player playing between like $5 and $100 per night. Not a lot of really super sharkish great players over there. So good competition for you to play against. Really unique contests that they offer. The Super Bowl squares, big game squares, should be a lot of fun this Sunday. Hopefully we don't get sued. FantasyFactor.com.
I gotta say, congrats to the NFL for making it so you just can't use these two words put together. That, like, it's not like they came up with like some crazy name for like the big game where that's like, yeah, not
Google,
things like,
right? Or yeah, like, you know,
right, exactly, like, right, exactly, like some like startup branding thing that like just kind of like Spotify, they made their own name that you can never use again. It's a Super Bowl, like people have been using it for like, this is literally the time football started, and now all of a sudden no one's allowed to use it. It's completely nuts. This is another example of us going completely off the rails. Anyway, another thing that's completely off the rails is the Cleveland Cavaliers. We mentioned them for at the beginning of the show. They are on the back-to-back tonight. Kevin Love is out with a broken hand. It seemed like the team kind of hated his guts anyway, so I don't imagine anyone on the team cares all that much, but it does make a big difference for us from a fantasy perspective. Last night, Crowder came out and started the second half for him. Channing Frye got a lot more minutes. Dwayne Wade played a lot off the bench. They were, again, a complete and total mess from a defensive standpoint. Losing Love, they don't have anyone that can like do a better defensive job than Love, I don't think, in the four. So I don't think that's going to be a consideration at this point now that they've moved Tristan Thompson here. What do we want to do with Cleveland here? Like, do we want to trust Crowder's minutes? Do we see Channing Frye move into the starting lineup? Like, I was just a little confused. I kind of hedged all their minutes across the board because I'm just not exactly sure what their plan is, and I'm not sure that whoever moves into the starting lineup is the answer for us from a fantasy perspective either. Like, what are your thoughts here on Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, Crowder's already been playing 25, 26 minutes a game and hasn't been doing anything on these $3,700 prices. It's really amazing. He's not utilized at all in this team. And it's really like a shame to watch his defensive stats just fall off a cliff as well, because we know this guy can be a good defensive player, but he's probably understandably crestfallen after leaving like just an awesome, vibrant young organization in Boston and just going into a bunch of these old guys that won't play defense, probably complain all the time. Like, I think I could totally get it there. But it's interesting because he and Channing Frye basically do completely opposite things. Crowder theoretically is supposed to be the all defense, no offense sort of guy. And Frye, of course, just has no defensive ability at all, but can definitely put numbers on the board from the perimeter when he gets extended minutes. Frye's incidentally been very good in the last two games, and his minutes are on the rise. So I think that if I were getting word that Frye were starting, I think I'd be pretty darn interested here. Frye seems to be a logical guy to pair alongside Tristan Thompson, who's all defense and no offense, but you get to wait and see. You don't want to be the one holding the bag if you guess wrong on this. So I think you just wait and try to get news first.
I think if Frye started, I'd be hard pressed to give him more than 25 minutes. And at that point, I think we'd much rather play like Frank Kaminsky for 500 more, I think, than Frye. I just don't think like you could pencil him in for 30 minutes just because of the way that they've been sort of running some of these second teams. They will go small ball at times, like guys like Jeff Green. Cleveland is just, oh man, God, it's over. I can't imagine they recover here from this. I know that, again, I'll save this episode and do a kind of call out my own thing with an audio if they come back and they just make it to the championship. I'm just not seeing it at all. Now, they are, like we mentioned, though, they're the worst defense in the league. So I think we're at a point where we have been and should continue to target guys against them with Miami here. They're a team. They're getting a little healthier. Dragic is back. Tyler Johnson is back. You know, it was nice when we could play some of the fill-in stopgap guys like Wayne Ellington. That doesn't seem to be the case. Their minutes are all trending down a little bit because Spoelstra does run some weirder rotations. I want to target guys against Cleveland because the defense sucks, but I'm just not seeing completely where to do it on this slate, specifically with this team.
Yeah, Miami's just a tricky one because, you know, we've seen value crop up from time to time on their team when opportunity has been created. But unfortunately, that's led to a situation now where everyone is probably just a little bit too expensive for what they actually provide on a game-to-game basis. Dragic now too expensive, given that Tyler Johnson is back. Tyler Johnson, incidentally, a guy who you might be able to target for big tournaments. He's only had two games back from injury, 21 minutes and then 27 minutes. We know that they're happy to play him 29 plus minutes off the bench. And so if you think, and he's the type of guy that could really hurt Cleveland in transition, I think. So I think, you know, a very, very interesting big tournament target there. Outside of that, you know, Richardson, just pretty much fairly priced. Again, going to probably lose a little bit of opportunity with these guys coming back. I just don't see a whole lot to love here. I think with a gun in my head for cash, I'd say Richardson would be the guy I would look at. And for big tournaments, again, Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, and just know Tyler Johnson is starting. He took over Deion Waiters' shooting guard responsibility. So as you mentioned, coming off the bench, but he's in the starting lineup, and I still don't want to give him more than like 30 minutes because that doesn't seem to be the complete case here. James Johnson's another one, man. I love James Johnson from a fantasy perspective, and I think the love is born out of something that I saw last year or something because he hasn't really been particularly been doing it, and they're just not playing him more than 29 minutes ever. If he ever crept back up to like 33, I think he has huge, huge upside, and that just really hasn't been the case. So want to target guys against Cleveland, and Miami is just one of those teams that just it's tough. They're good. They're a decent team, and it's tough to get a handle on their rotations. 8 o'clock game, New York Knicks go in and play Boston. Boston, one of the bigger favorites of the night, 8.5 points over the Knicks. The only injury news that we could get here, and I'm not sure we'll have it in time, and this is just guessing, is whether or not they rest guys on the back-to-back. The Knicks at times have rested Tim Hardaway Jr. on one end of the back-to-back. They did it on the front end last game. Kristaps, they've still been having some kid gloves on. I just don't know. Knicks have been one of the worst teams in reporting injuries this season, so I'm not sure we're going to get news because it's an hour after lock, and there's some teams that get the label of being bad at this, and the Knicks are one of them, which is crazy too, considering the size of their market and the amount of guys that follow that team around, they still just can't get reliable injury news really kind of ever from this team. So kind of hate the Knicks, but probably doesn't matter because this is a very bad matchup against Boston. What do we like in this game from either side?
Yeah, I think the Knicks guys will play. The big names you mentioned, Porzingis and Hardaway, didn't play very many minutes last night. So I suspect they'll be out there, and I suspect it won't matter for our DFS purposes. Boston, you know, again, among the slowest teams in the league, bottom eight team right now in terms of pace, top two defensive efficiency team. So I think you're not going to want to roster any Knicks here for really any format. Like, it's hard to imagine where the upside comes from here. I guess if they keep it close and somebody goes off, then maybe you could see it happen. The team gets excited and just leaves Tim Hardaway out there because he's got a hot hand or something. I'm not totally sure. On the Boston side, though, you know, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. I think he's a pretty interesting guy to target in that kind of mid-range that you mentioned earlier. He's kind of been paying these prices pretty routinely for the last week or so. Lowest game in his last five is 41 fantasy points. 8,900 seems pretty affordable. Going up against the Knicks team, it's very, very bad at defending the point guard position. So Kyrie is definitely a guy I'm looking at pretty closely.
Yeah, it helps him. With Marcus Smart out, it takes one sort of pseudo point guard out of the mix. And then Shane Larkin sat out last game and is questionable for tonight. They are actually getting pretty thin in the backcourt. Rozier did play more minutes last game. But I guess I'm more saying this from trusting Kyrie's minutes a little bit more, that they just have a few less ball, possibly have a few, well, definitely with no Smart and then possibly no Larkin, just have a few less ball handlers out there. And they will play Kyrie and Rozier together, so it's not a one-for-one thing on like who has the point guard minutes. So those guys do share the court sometimes for extended periods. Yeah, no, I really like Kyrie. He, like you said, he fits that what I was mentioning with Tyreke Evans before. It's like that guy in that 8,000-ish, 9,000 range that you're just going to need to kind of start rostering, because if you're going to play some of these other cheaper guys, at some point you just need to fill in. And this is including playing Simmons and Embiid. Like, you can play Kyrie, I think, alongside those guys, and he definitely fits the mold. Very scoring dependent, but he's one of the best scorers in the game. 10 o'clock game. We go from the 8 o'clock and then two hours till the next game starts. Chicago goes in and plays Portland. Big news from this game is Lauri Markkanen has already been ruled out of the game. And it looks like Mirotić, who was in a deal to go to the Pelicans, it looked like it was kind of done, that the Pelicans were going to get him. And then the deal fell through at the last second. And I'm not exactly sure why, which sucks. It actually would have been a nice ad for the Pelicans. But it looks like he's going to stay and probably start. Now, he's not cheap anymore on FanDuel. He's 6,100. And what do we do here? Because Mirotić is a guy who's really filled it up when in the starting lineup for the Bulls. Sure. And it was a lot easier to stomach when he was 4,500, even 5,000. 6,100 is kind of expensive. Like, I don't know if this is our answer. And then the other guy, obviously, we want to consider here is Bobby Portis coming in off the bench. What do we do with the power forward minutes for Chicago?
Yeah, I think with Mirotić, you can give him 30 plus minutes here. And I think he's worth it on that price. I mean, if you look at his points per minute production this season, it's really excellent. And penciling him in for 30 minutes probably means you're going to get 30 fantasy points. So I think he's totally playable here. I think a lot of people will be sucked back into the Bobby Portis thing. You know, it seems like he's owned highly whenever there's any front court issues in Chicago. And whether he pays the price or not is just kind of anybody's guess. Like, sometimes they'll be having injury issues, he'll play 17 minutes and be terrible. Sometimes he'll play 18 minutes and be great. So, you know, it's kind of a gamble there. But both of those, I think, are going to see heavy play tonight across multiple different formats, given the marketing news.
Portis is a fantastic points per minute guy. And you just, like you said, you just need to be concerned with the minutes, because the last three games that Markkanen missed, and this is all the way back in mid-December, those games that Markkanen missed, Portis played 23 minutes. Now he scored 32 fantasy points. So you get there. Then plays 22 against Utah, which scores 23 fantasy points. And you're not throwing that away by any means at 4,500. Then he goes 29 against Milwaukee and scores 43 fantasy points. So if he plays like 25 minutes, I think you're pretty much there on his price, and you're just not guaranteed to get those 25 minutes. I think between the two, Portis will be here's the thing. Who do you think's higher on tonight, Kaminsky or Portis? Knowing that Portis, assuming Portis does not get moved to the starting lineup, like it is Mirotić that takes the start.
I think if we get definitive word that Kaminsky's starting, I think he's higher on.
Interesting. I think it's Portis and it's close. Like, I don't really, it's close for me too, just on the projection too. Like, right now we do have Portis at 27 minutes, probably a little high for a higher projection than Portis or than Kaminsky. Very, very close. I think this will be, if you think that Ben Simmons is just locked into that second power forward spot. And I think that's probably maybe where we are going to possibly be a little different, as people end up paying somewhere else. Like, let's play LeBron. Yeah. Like they play LeBron at small forward or something like that. And just take the two power forward guys. I think that's going to be an interesting decision. On the Portland side of the ball, there are 7.5 point favorites expected to put up some points here. Anything you like here for the Blazers?
Yeah. Damian Lillard, another guy kind of like Kyrie in that mid range. You know, he's a little less consistent, which I don't really love, but he also appears to have more upside potentially. So, you know, you go up and down the game log over the last month or so, basically since returning from that injury for good, and you'll see a lot of pretty good performances on this price point. And you throw in a pretty good matchup here with Chicago, who, yeah, they play pretty slowly, but they play very, very bad defense. So, you know, kind of comes out of the wash a little bit. Chicago's pace has also been rising from the early season when they were playing like one of the slowest paces in the league. They're now up around league average. So yeah, I think Lillard's just in a good spot, a solid guy to include for your cash games at a position that doesn't appear to have a ton of value right now.
Final game, 10:30. Dallas goes in and plays Phoenix. No line on this game as we wait on presumably what the Suns are going to do specifically with Devin Booker. He is a guy that will drive a line one way or the other. So with no line, I think that, you know, he's questionable right now. The Suns have been pretty good about this. I'll hand it to them for a team that just kind of plays weird lineups at times and is clearly just tanking. They're pretty good about releasing information about, you know, the centers and kind of guys like that, who's going to start, whether Booker's going to play or not. So I guess there's some chance we have the news before 7 o'clock lock, but pushing that 3.5 hour mark is asking a little bit. If we didn't know about Booker, TJ Warren is a guy who's kind of like close either way, I think. And then would we feel comfortable with playing a guy like Warren against Dallas with the idea that if Booker didn't play, you get pretty nice upside, or is it too risky?
I'd rather not. I mean, they're all priced pretty efficiently. I mean, missing Booker obviously opens up a lot of opportunity for shots, and I think it'd be a very reasonable stab to take for big tournaments. But simply the reduced possessions alone and a lot of value from other spots around the league tonight leads me to believe that that's probably not opening up quite as much opportunity. I was like, outside of, you know, whoever winds up being Booker's direct replacement. So I'm not super high on that. And then on the Dallas side, you know, Phoenix, whenever you see that PHO in the FanDuel game slate, you're like, wow, who's going to play against them? Dallas is like just one of these teams that's least equipped to punish a team like Phoenix. Guys that are appropriately priced and, you know, probably aggressively priced like Dennis Smith and Harrison Barnes. And then a guy like Wes Matthews, who, you know, definitely can do it on these prices and actually has pretty considerable upside, but can basically completely disappear when his teammates decide not to pass him the ball. So, you know, there's I probably have less exposure to this Phoenix game than I will their next five. But that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. They get all price corrected when you play the Suns. That's part of both of these sites' algorithms. The prices jump a little bit. One guy, and that you saw that with Smith, and you see that with the guys you mentioned, the Matthews and Barnes. One guy I do find a little bit interesting is Yogi Ferrell. He's been playing minutes off the bench. He's only 4,300 on FanDuel. So I think if you're looking for some price savings at point guard, I'm not sure how I'm going to go this direction for cash because I like some of the other cheaper punt plays that we mentioned before, just at other positions like Portis, Kaminsky, etc. But Farrell, the last three games, the last four games, 32 minutes, 30 minutes, 27 minutes, 32 minutes, and been reasonable, if not great in the price, but you're just getting mostly just buying on the matchup. So not over the moon for it, but wouldn't mind kind of throwing it out there. And then Phoenix, just the last two pieces on them, looks like Tyson Chandler is going to be back and playing tonight. So anything that we're getting from Greg Monroe goes by the wayside. And even with the Booker thing, Isaiah Cannon started for him the other night. So you're like, oh, great, he's the starting point guard. And then he played like 15 minutes and they brought in Tyler Ulis and he played all the minutes off the bench. So hashtag Suns. We're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com/NBA gets you that free 3-day trial to our projection system. Go check that out. Free for 3 days and then just $34.95 a month and you're all good to go. We'll be back again Friday talking more basketball. Buddy, enjoy your Wednesday.
Peace, peace, and a bottle of hair grease.